You're listening to a Lost in the Groove segment.
The thing about me is, the more I realize, I am very much a loner.
Yeah.
And I keep to myself very much of the time. And it's not necessarily on purpose. You know, I tend to be a bit of a workaholic and tend to have an addiction for fascinations to hobbies and interest. So I'm not going to punish myself completely for the matter. But that is definitely how I feel.
Welcome to this week's episode of Lost in the Groove. Thank you for joining.
Segment called American Groove. Yes.
I always forget that we named this one American Groove.
It's all right. It's the same fucking podcast. It's just a different flavor. It's like when you go to the grocery store, you know, you get poblanos or jalapenos. You got to choose between the two.
This is more detailed. This is American Groove.
Yeah, we're more like, you know, a dry chili. Slow, dry chili.
You can hear the plastic of my candy.
You can hear the plastic of my weed bag right over here.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. I'm really in the mood for candy. So right now I have a watermelon.
I'm rolling myself candy right now. Yes.
This is a watermelon. What are they? Sour Patch Kid? Yeah, watermelon Sour Patch Kid. They're like,
oh, honey, you going hard, girl. You going real hard.
Watermelon Sour Patch Kid is like almost a guilty pleasure for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I remember life before they created the watermelon Sour Patch Kid.
Oh, honey, we know. You've spoken on an episode entirely about cucumber melon bars from Bath and Body Works.
Mm.
So your relationship with quality.
Well,
and uniqueness is a talent for sure.
They made the watermelon version of the Sour Patch Kid as like a specialty thing. I mean, I could be getting this mixed up with like, they used to make these little like spider like sour candies that were like just to do with like when Spider-Man came out. But I kind of feel like the watermelon Sour Patch Kids were supposed to be just like this like one-time thing for like the summer or something like that. And then it like stuck. And I guess now that I think about it, maybe it really was the Spider-Man candies that I'm thinking of. But like, I only say that because I can't find any more Spider-Man candies. I'm like,
I see.
But if I could get another one of those little sour Spideys. Ooh. But I love sour candy.
Is that what you dream about at night, Carissa?
A sour Spidey?
Yeah, like the cold of night when the wind is at its highest.
What do I dream about at night when the wind is at its highest?
No, I'm being totally sarcastic.
Joints?
Because I'm literally picturing you like sitting there in a bed, you know, looking like a fucking Tim Burton character, you know, just like chewing on those Sour Patch Kids and like you hear outside like, whoosh.
Dude, okay, speaking of wind, I live in Siberia, basically.
Iowa.
The other day I was on the phone with David and I told him the temperature and he was like, Carissa, it's seriously like 3 degrees different than Siberia. And I was like, what the fuck? Do you hear the emphasis on the fuck? Like
I was like, the fuck is like really long in this
fuck.
Case. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, like it is probably
cold from another world, you know, from like the ice people in like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's like I live in the Himalayas. Like if you look around, it's like insane. I could be wrong, but I believe this is one of the worst winters that they have had as far as snowfall.
Clearly.
At all.
I mean, Carissa arrived.
Maybe like 20 years. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. You could you could ice skate on the streets. I had 3 days home from work because of the snow. People's windows are literally frozen shut. There's like frost like coming in the window seals. It's like on the inside. Like
my boyfriend's know about you. Like,
yeah, no, it's insane. I touched the door, like the door handle, and it was like negative like 10 or something like that. And it burned my fingers, David. Like it was painful. Like I was like,
Okay. Why would you touch raw metal at negative degrees?
Because I was trying to get the door to shut and I was leaving and I didn't plan for the door to have to grab the door. I don't have any fucking gloves. I'm from California. I got gloves now, but I didn't have any.
You know what? Like, this is just an
example. You try and deal with it every fucking day, day in, day out. There's no escaping it. I got some gloves now. I didn't have any then. I don't know. I just try to kind of get by. And then it's like I burn my hand on a door because I touch it for like 5 seconds.
All I'm saying is this is what California does to people.
No, no one should have to live like that. Doors shouldn't be.
I live like that. I fucking grew up in New York, honey. We had snow.
I don't know if it was that cold where the doorknob burns your hand, but yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking cold. I mean,
I don't ever remember doorknobs burning my hand when I used to live here before. I mean, honestly, like, this is crazy. It's like this place got like way worse since I left. I don't know. Makes sense. Everywhere got worse.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, but like the thing is, people don't get it a lot of times. Like growing up in, like, for example, for me in New York, it was a nightmare. You know, can you imagine like your parents drive you crazy enough and they have an insane relationship and then you're like fucking locked in there for 3 days and you're off school.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like there's that added benefit. But then you're like fucking locked up with these people. Like what the hell are you supposed to do?
I know, you're like trying to act like you got something to do.
Exactly.
But you're like, they all know that you don't have anything to do. And they're like, David.
What?
I know. Earlier my mom, she's like, I don't know what she said to me. She goes, I don't have a friend. And I go, okay. And I'm like, fuck, what did she say? Like, I was like, oh no. I was like, I think she said that she was going to put water in the dog's bowl. And like, for me, that's not like a thing that takes like a yes or a no or any type of response. It's like, okay.
Cool.
Thank you. Like, I'm like, I don't know. So I did good. I was like, oh, okay. There was no response required.
You did good. You get some checkpoints over there.
My subconscious responded correctly. Yeah.
Girl, honestly, like, whenever my mom has those moments, those outbursts, and she's like, did you hear what I said? And I'm like, Ma, I have zoned out for like the past 20 minutes. I don't hear you. I don't understand a word that's going on. I'm like, I'm totally out there, man. It's like, I love you, but I am not going to listen to you, bitch, for fucking 10 minutes and process all that information and understand what you're telling me. You know why? Because I'm stoned. Okay? That's why. I love you, Ma, but sorry.
No. Now it's gotten the other way around where, like, with my dad, I have to be like, did you hear me?
Oh, God.
And he's like, what? And I was like, you didn't hear me, did you?
Exactly.
Okay. Like, yeah, no, I was telling you that I'm leaving the house. I'll be back. Kitty cat.
She has been an absolute puta this whole night.
Come here.
When I say puta, I mean actual puta. Twixie has been nonstop crying and screaming on the top of her itty bitty lungs at the door. Yeah, we both have our babies. This is my little baby.
Baby.
This is so yummy.
Mine's upset.
Look how do you
doesn't
see?
Doesn't want me to hold him. Oh. She's like looking directly into the camera, like.
All right, we're going to put you down. No more. That's it.
So I live in hell. That's a recap on what we were just talking about, but go
exactly.
on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, you know, living where, you know, your fucking fingers are free, you know, skin can just rip off by doorknobs and snow through the fucking wazoo and, you know, people ice skating through the streets. I mean, listen, from what you've told me about Iowa, I can see a bunch of people just rolling down the streets on ice skates, you know, being, good morning, hello.
Hey! Yeah, I have no idea. I swear.
Oh, Lord. It is a white, white country. Huh?
I could go on and on about weird, strange things from Iowa, but maybe I'll get back into that like later in the episode. I was going to let you talk about some normal stuff.
Oh, okay. Are we going to like categorize things and kind of like go back into the full? Because like here, as a physical understanding for anybody that's old enough to remember what this is, we're going to call this a Rolodex. It is a Rolodex. And the conversations are like little cards.
You need to put some new shit in that Rolodex, sir.
I haven't in a while. And then we just roll through the conversation. Just like this Rolodex, roll through the conversations.
It's in the Rolodex!
It's in the Rolodex!
It's in the Rolodex!
Honey, fucking put your tush down and stop licking your ass. Thank you.
You could save all your passwords in the Rolodex.
Yeah, My aunt had one, so I kind of wanted one.
They're cool. Yeah. They used to be really important. My dad had one on the desk, or secretary did, or whatever. And yeah, I could see that. It's like your own personal phone book, because we didn't have digital phone books inside of our phones that are not just phones. They're the phone does everything.
Isn't it crazy that I'm going to be 25 this week and I'm old enough to remember when I would need to take a number because, you know, I would need a phone number. My mom would write it on a note and hand it to me, and she would put it with a staple.
Quarter of a century.
I know. That was like the coolest thing, you know, like you would come to kindergarten with a piece of paper just safety pinned into your fucking t-shirt.
They'd safety pin a piece of paper to your clothes. I remember that. Yeah. I remember it happening at different times, but I don't really remember why. But yeah, I remember it being like cool that there's like, because it's like the paper's so flimsy and, you know, but you had like that big coat. It's definitely a winter thing.
The reason why like I kind of brought this up is because I started to realize something, that it's not necessarily about a generational thing. There is something about growing up in certain periods and having those experiences that really mesh really well. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. I love Gen Xers. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I think like a lot of my friend base, besides you, I mean, you're fucking cool. You're a millennial and you're awesome. But besides you, these are people like in their late 30s, like early, you know, 40s. Actually,
the late 30s.
Yeah, at this point would be, I think, wait a minute, 79? No. I don't even remember the year. Anyway, this is completely off track. What I'm trying to say is the reason why they're really cool people is because with them, from my experience, it's nothing to do about age. You know, you're just talking with a really cool person. And you're having a really good time. And like, this whole like, oh, you know, I can't stoop to your level kind of bullshit, it doesn't really exist with them. You know?
I think there's a billion different types of people of every single age group. There's no way to say.
We're talking about, I don't know, our own experience. I'm talking about my own experience, honey. And I know like you've had your own experience. I don't know what the fuck other people's experiences are with this stuff. I don't want to talk about this.
I think a generation of people who knew how to...
All about the artist. That is the whole purpose of this podcast, period. And you have a really valuable tool. You can share this with artists, people that are creative, someone that can enjoy this podcast and really enjoy the experience of Lost in the Groove. So with that, let's jump back to today's episode, shall we?
Do everything that they needed to do without a phone is different. Like, I think anybody who has lived as an adult, went through college without, you know, the internet. I think that it's a different, like, breed of human. It's just different. These people, I can't imagine going to college with, I mean, just the little bit of internet that my sister went to college with. Like, and I think about what it was like for my mom to go to school, and she really did have to, like, copy every single note out of a book in the library, you know, like they used encyclopedias. Like, I feel like it creates, like, a different type of person. Like, you have to have a different level of patience than to, like, use a search engine and, like, read up on, like, what it is that you need to learn about and, like, mm-hmm. you know, be able to just pull up digital dictionaries, look through everything that you need. And it's very, very, very different. Like, super different. You can check all your answers really quickly nowadays, you know?
It's also to the point where what I was trying to get at, too, is when you meet somebody, and, you know, specifically, like, when you're dating, it's very different now, because primarily the way that you're doing it is online dating. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be very common to go into a place, you know, and meet somebody. The problem is now, like, what? You're going to go into a nightclub and bump into somebody and then go on a first date?
It's because, like, people don't socialize.
Right. So, it for me, it's like figuring out the best out of all interests. You know, figuring out, like, what works best for me, how can I best utilize myself to be more social, you know, and have those connections. It's not easy.
I kind of feel like different times in your life are for different things. I can just say that, like, I spent the early years of my life very, 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 very social. And then, like, I feel like when I got older, I kind of wanted to spend more time with, like, just, like, a guy or just a best friend or, you know, like, just, like, one. I focus a little bit more in on, like, you know, I wasn't out all the time. I don't know. I feel like being out all the time wasn't always, like, intentional. You know, it was just kind of, like, what there was to do. I had this, like, ongoing curiosity of, like, wanting to be out and stuff like that. Like, I made, like, a conscious decision to, like, be like, oh, I don't want to be out as much as I used to, you know? Like, it was really crazy how it just eat up, like, all your time. So as much as I think it's important for people to be social, I also think that it's, like, you know, I give props to people who don't need to be around people all the time, you know, or people who are okay with just, like, you know, staying at home and, like, reading a book and cooking dinner with, you know, like, a best friend. And, you know, I mean, if you and I could hang out around each other, I'm sure we'd have, like, you know, a night where we just kind of, like, collab, make dinner together, like, watch a movie, hang out, chit-chat, drink wine.
Possibly.
Sure, we probably would from time to time. You know, I mean, but I think that that's, like, good quality time, but that's still being social. But it's, like, it's not a way that you're going to meet a person. Like, if you're single, you're going to be staying single. I think a lot of people meet at work, surprisingly enough. They meet in their careers.
Yeah. I work in a brewery. And yeah. I love our customers, but they are many times questionable to many degrees.
Maybe you talk about this more. This sounds interesting.
We have, possibly, we get an interesting demographic. We can get elderly couples. a lot of gay couples, primarily the woke ones. And
what are they like?
Oh, God. Awful. Absolutely. I mean this in the kindest way. Where if your starting conversation with somebody is, do you have any vegan options available on the menu? And I'm
it's like, read the menu and find a vegan option.
And we have one. And I was like, we have one. It's called the homicide. It's a hummus with focaccia, whatever. And their response is, oh, I see. And doesn't order a thing. Just keeps on drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it so you can't be open enough with me and, you know, and say, well, you know, I wish like this place, you know, would I have more vegan options. I probably would have responded where I understand that, but we're not generally a vegan friendly place. You know, they can respond back as any way they want. I don't give a flying fuck. My point is that having the balls to have a conversation with somebody, I respect that. If you can't do that, you're just a woke piece of shit.
Oh, woke pieces of shit. I don't see a whole lot of it. You know, I mean, I'm in Iowa, so...
Only white people, right?
No, I wouldn't say there's only white people.
Oh my God, like, there's non-white people in Iowa?
We have a pretty big Mexican community, Hispanic community. Yeah, for sure. I would say, like, out of our brides, like, okay, that's a little, yes, mostly white people. Because it's Iowa, and, you know, that's who had kids. It was a bunch of white people. Mm-hmm. Last generation and the generation before them, a bunch
making
of white
people. Babies.
Having white kids. And they have a lot of kids, man. Oh, my God.
Little bunk beds for them, you know, all numbered.
Fuck, I don't even know. That was, yeah, that was I would a joke. Say we had maybe like 10 brides yesterday, and I would say
all Latinas.
Four of them were not white, you know, so a little bit less than half.
Nice.
Is what I would say, or a little bit more than half of people are white.
Can you imagine going from like Mexico to this beautiful dry climate to fucking Iowa? No, nothing wrong with Iowa. It's cold, man. It's freaking cold.
It's affordable, or at least it used to be. But it's like, okay, so like I went to, I mean, California can be like the land of opportunity, you know, like for sure. You're like, I get it. But it's also like really fucking expensive and like really goddamn difficult. And so like when I think about people who like are, you know, because there's a lot of refugees in Iowa, I feel like people who come here from other countries, like, it's, you know, I mean, other than the weather, it is a pretty good life. Like, you've got, like, pretty good opportunity. You can, you know, manage. You can possibly eventually buy a house. Like, if you work hard, like, it's not going to, like, kick your ass, you know? Like, you could eventually get a car and afford car insurance and, like, you know, do things. And they take good care of people. And you don't have to have any type of citizenship to get medical care here. If you just go down to the clinic, they'll just help you. They have like a really nice hospital that they just put a whole bunch of money into. So
this is the part where all of New Yorkers' jaws just drop.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is like, I kind of feel bad for people who, you know, move to America from other places and ended up in Los Angeles or big cities, you know, New York City, but Chicago. I can't totally feel bad for them because like that is a really great opportunity, but at the same time, like I do feel kind of bad for them because like, you know, this is like a really easy place compared to that. Aside from how goddamn cold it is. I know that we have a lot of people who moved here from, I don't know which countries in Africa, but people who like don't use air conditioning because like they're used to like really, really hot weather. And so like they'll have an air conditioner and just never turn it on. And I know that there are like a lot of apartment buildings that these people moved into because like there was some type of government thing where they had like housing for people to move into, like affordable, whatever. So a lot of these people all live kind of in the same area and they all have like a similar lifestyle, which I guess is probably like really nice. But they like this
I'm smelling
whole, like,
little segregation over here.
But that's what they, you know, I mean, like, it's not segregation. It's like, a housing environment was provided.
I understand
to
that, but honey, that is a level or form of segregation.
I don't think it's segregated. Like, everybody has the opportunity to go one way or the other. It's not like there's any like rules saying like
I understand
you're
that,
not allowed to go other places. It's more like this was just like provided to these people. But what I was saying is that they don't use any of their air conditioning at all, no matter how hot it gets. So I cannot imagine what it's like for people who are used to such extreme heat when we have just like the coldest shit in the world right now. Like, if I think that it's really, really cold, whoever moved here from, you know, where they're used to really hot temperatures must just be like, what the fuck is this? Like, and it is, it's crazy. It's like a foot or more of snow. There's like 3 feet of snow on the sides of streets. Like, it's just shocking. Like, I've been in shock over it. Like, people have been like legit just snowed in.
Okay, I understand the shock and the hysteria of the snow and the conditions. I do want to go back to the fact of segregation because I understand where you're coming from, but here, try to look at it from this perspective, where if you have a group of people, solely a group of type of people living in one area, and one area only, that is a form of segregation.
Well, go now, ahead and Google segregation because you're using it wrong.
I understand that, but I do feel like I don't. Got to be careful with my words. What are you Googling? What are you doing over there?
The definition of segregation.
Ooh, okay. Let's hear it. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Well, I mean, like, it's a broad definition would just be, and I'm trying to think like, okay, so what you're saying isn't totally off with this definition. The action or state of setting someone or something apart from others. Yeah, there's an apartment complex that was set aside. I mean, maybe even like built for these people. So it is set aside. But I think that segregation has a negative like intention. Like, but this is like providing homes for people that otherwise
for
would
the
be
time,
dead.
Okay, for the time being.
So it's not negative. It's like they have a free home, basically.
I understand that. But right now, temporarily, this is a positive situation. However, if we look at this from the long state of view, let's say 5-10 years into the future, it doesn't make as much sense. Because what you're doing is not only will you be limiting these people. Okay, I'll give you a great example of this. All right. In New York, one of the biggest problems that we had with segregation is everybody started living in their own communities to the point where there were Latin communities of kids that did not speak a word of English, didn't know how to read English, didn't speak it, nothing. They had no assimilation or connection to anything but somebody that spoke Spanish or was from their community. So, to a degree, these people have been segregated for a variety of reasons. Poverty,
well, I mean, the people
and crime.
Here will go to the schools here. They'll hopefully get jobs here.
No, I understand that.
You know, like, they don't get to just stay within their community completely. Like, they're still going to have to interact with the outside world.
To a degree.
Here they'd have to, the kids would have to go to school. I don't know. I don't think they get to just like, unless they eventually open up their own school or something like that. There's like a, there's a school here that's like, I don't know, like Amish people or something.
You have an Amish school? Are you serious?
It's got a name on it. I've read it before, and it's like, maybe it's like a Mennonite school, or like, it's like something. Like, I've driven past it before and been like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know what that is, but I kind of know what that is. Like,
I remember once I ran into Noah Heights. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. So there are people that believe that in the ideology of Noah. So Noah had these seven commandments, let's just say. So the thing in Judaism, what the, this is bananas. This is, we're going to talk about how crazy
How do the Jews feel about Noah?
He was considered like the savior, you know, in a way. Like, he was the one that, you know, saved all the animals and the species, blah, 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 all that bullshit and crap. But anyway, getting to the good stuff is where, as Jews, we believe that a good Gentile is someone that follows the seven laws of Noah. This is not, like, just understand this. As a religious Jew, your belief is that a good Gentile has to follow those seven laws. So if you don't follow those seven laws, as a Jewish person, you're considered a bad Gentile.
And it's up to you guys to decide.
Correct.
Who's a good Gentile and who's not.
Who's a bad one?
Why are you guys judging us?
I'm not the one that's judging.
No, I know it's not you.
No, it's not.
Why are they judging the Gentiles?
It gets even crazier, man. I was talking with my boss, Andres, the other day, and I was telling them in this. We Jews also believe in what's called an apikoros, right? So repeat after me. Api?
Apikoros.
Koros. What is that? An apikoros is a person that is non-religious, and they make sure that whatever they're doing is against God. So any laws or commandment that they're breaking is against God, and so forth. To the point that there have been arguments, you know, through Jewish scholars about, you know, how genuine of an apikoros can you be? Okay, this is wild. So, you know, if you actually is doing it against God, you know, to what level or degree of how much he's, you know, putting forth and so on. As a non-religious person, who gives a flying fuck? It's a cheeseburger. You're not fucking thinking about God while that thing's going down your throat. Like, who gives a shit? But anyway, I love Judaism for this because it's so funny and ironic and cool at the same time. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you for sharing. Oh, I've been eating more candy.
Good. Get those sugar, you know.
Oh, my God. I really, really like these. They're called Nerd Gummy Clusters.
Cool.
See it? This is what you want. It's a gummy cluster with nerds stuck to it. You know what they've done here? There used to be nerd ropes. And instead, now they're just in little balls. Oh, my God. Stoner approved.
I believe that what you're eating is like the equivalent of the everlasting gobstopper. Because the company that funded the Wonka movie, I believe, was General Mills. And they had a problem with one of their products that they pulled off the shelves. But anyway, point being is, like, it's just bananas sometimes with these candy companies. And these just, you know, they act like little buffoons sometimes. But anyway, point is, the everlasting gobstopper is kind of like, I don't know if this is true. I'm not Googling this to check this. But that's what I've been told. Are you writing things down?
I wrote a note.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm in like fucking you know, seventh grade, and my teacher's like, Dave, we're going to have to talk.
I'm such a little, like, yeah, I've been writing notes a lot. But, okay, go.
I love this.
Rewind, before I brought up the thing about the candy we were talking about. We were talking about this person who intentionally, like, goes against God, or...
Yes.
Or, how does it work?
An apikoros is someone that is non-religious, and the mitzvot, the commandments that they break, they have to do them due to spiting God.
Okay, but, like, I just think that's so crazy, because it's, like, to, like, make your decisions if you're not religious, then why even take the time to make your decisions based on God or not?
Exactly.
Does this make sense to you? Like, I'm just like, so you're still like, okay, you're a non-religious person that is making your decisions based on what God would hate, which is like not really doing what you yourself wants or needs or what's good for you or like anything. Like, it's like totally off course for like what would be like soothing to you as an individual. Like,
yeah. And it's funny because I remember when I was explained what an apikoros was, the way that they said it was, they didn't mention the non-religious part. But honestly, think to yourself, any person that is religious that goes out to do commandments, to despite God and spit in his face, or her face, or they face, whatever, or zir, doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? So what you're saying is, and this is how I translate it, is you don't want to call them a non-religious person. So therefore, you make this thing up called an apikoros, that in order for them to be classified as being anti the faith, anti the God, you know, anti everything, it has to be, you know, to spit in God's face, whatever the fucking, I don't know. I'm trying to sound poetic. It doesn't really.
I don't think that it has to be intentional. Like,
exactly. Who thinks about God while eating a cheeseburger? Unless, like, the fucking char marks on there looks like Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know.
Because eating a cheeseburger is sinful because there's the meat and the cheese at the same time. Is that what it is?
Oh, that shit fades, like, after, like, 6 or 7 months.
I don't know. I, hope, you know, that
hope?
My soul... I hope that my soul is doing good. I think it's good. And that's the best I can do. Like, people get all wrapped up in that shit. My mom, she talks about it. It gets weird. I don't know. I remember, didn't I tell you, everybody's talking about end of days and crap at the Baptist church in Florida and Armageddon.
Here's the life lesson, kids. The world is a lot older than people. And it's been around a lot longer than we have. And there's been a lot of civilizations that have gone before us. So, if we all disappear, doesn't really matter.
I know. I can't live my life based on any of it or like.
But honestly, think about that for a second, because this is, again, I'm not trying to diss religion. This is just my perspective. When you realize how small you really are, it doesn't mean that you're meaningless. All it means is that the universe doesn't need your opinion. Doesn't need your opinion. Doesn't need you to fucking rip off your fucking bra and scream climate change. Doesn't need you to do that. It really
Which
doesn't.
Is freeing. It's really freeing if
it
you
is
let
freeing.
It be. Yeah.
Okay, you can, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're going to just rip the bra off, honey, just go for it.
I mean, the world not needing your opinion is a freeing thing. Like, let it
feel... I was totally stuck on the bra. Yeah.
No, it's true, but it's like, let it feel good. Let it feel good that the world doesn't have to have your opinion. Like, I feel like it's a pain in the ass to be putting your opinion all over everything. And I guess it takes people growing up to realize that or whatever. But I totally agree with you, David. It's like...
You don't need religion for that, too.
The world doesn't need your opinion. Like, I don't know. I think, like, you know, it's cool to have, like, a relationship with God, or it's cool to have, like, an inner, a way to find peace, or, like...
Hey, it's Dave, and I quickly just wanted to jump in and say, if you've been enjoying the podcast, enjoying this episode, if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that'll be so greatly appreciated. Because here's the thing, someone might read that review and make the choice if they want to listen to the podcast. You get to help grow this podcast with us. How fucking cool is that? Let's jump back to today's episode.
You know, and whatever that is for you is a good thing. Like, as long as you're doing a good thing and you're thinking positive thoughts, and if that means, you know, talking to a God,
I don't know, but
or
I'm always
whatever.
Thinking about positive thoughts. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, sometimes we got to be like, man, fuck this, you know, just to, like, get over
fuck
stuff.
The man.
Yeah.
My case is legit. Huh?
I hope that we got our fuck record up today on this episode. I want to break maybe 10 fucks. How many do you think we've gotten so far?
We've probably gone over fuck more than 10 times.
Did you even need to put that fuck in there?
No. I mean, there are so many other wonderful curse words out there besides fuck. You know, There's bitch and cunt, which is one of my favorites. Motherfucker.
That's just fuck again. But with mother before it. I like it for fuck's sake or fucking A, what I always thought was a cute one.
Well, as a New Yorker, my favorite is get the fuck out of here. That's the best. It's the best. Yeah. It's the best. I'm telling you, it's the best.
So cold. Oh, so
are
cold.
You still on that fucking cold? Girl, get one of those. Listen to me.
You have no idea. I got into the car and it was like the seat.
Jesus and I had, fucking Christ.
David, don't what? Yell at me.
I'm not yelling at you. Get a fucking like room heater or something. I don't know what to tell you.
I had to preheat the car, and it still was kind of bad.
Oh, God. It to preheat the car?
It's taken over my life.
So here's the thing. Living down in Florida, we don't have to preheat our cars. We have to dehumidify our cars because it is so fucking humid out here. You can slice that shit with a goddamn knife, okay? It could be fucking 65 degrees outside. You get in your car and you schwitz. You schwitz like a goddamn dog, okay? Why? I don't know, because there's fucking water in the air.
It's like you're driving around in a greenhouse.
Oh, it's so bad. But, like, cold is bad, too. Cold is real bad.
I'm sorry, I brought up cold again for like the eighth time.
No, it's okay. We brought up fuck. We brought up cold. We touched on dating a little bit, which we never talk about. Never.
We were going to talk about dating.
Oh, God.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about dating.
I mean, yeah, sure.
We talked about how a lot of dating is like online and how it's kind of hard to like meet people like out and about. Yeah, for me, it was like a combination of both. And I've kind of heard this from people where it's like a little bit of a combination of both, where it's like they were on the dating app and they like saw a person, you know, and like they matched, but like it didn't really go anywhere. But then like a few weeks later, like a couple months or a year, like whatever it is, like they end up at a place where they see that person and they like remember their face and their name and they're like, oh, you know, or like they have a mutual friend with that person and they're like, oh yeah, we matched on a thing, you know, or vice versa. The other way around, I've seen it too.
This sounds like something has either happened to you or somebody that you know.
Yeah. My friend Lexi, that's kind of how hers happened, but I've heard it from other people too.
I see.
But I've heard it the other way too, where it's like people would maybe not hit it off in regular life, but that's because like they never run into each other. Like me and the person that I were dating, we noticed each other because we knew each other from real life. We noticed each other on the dating app and it was like, hey, don't I know you? And it was like, so it's like a combination of kind of like both, which I think happens and works for a lot of people on a dating app where it's like, wait a second, aren't you friends with like my friend? But like, because they started kind of like talking on the dating app, it starts them off on kind of like a, so you're single? Like, what's up? Like, yeah, I haven't banged in a long time either.
Amen to that, girl. I went on my first two dates in the past year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then before that was like 3 years or something and change. And it was a weird experience because like the first guy I was with was incredible, but he was just so young. Like he reminded me of my nephew. Okay, and he's 14.
No, that's not good.
It's not good.
Or is it? No.
No. And then, honey, I am not looking to for any kind of prison sentences right now. I need to pay my rent.
No.
I need to pay my rent like right now.
Okay. I mean, this is, I probably shouldn't even bring it up, but somebody showed me a clip of there being like a temple or something in New York that got like broken into. And there were like tunnels or something that were like revealed. Have you heard about these things?
Mm-hmm.
What is this, David?
So,
do you know who these people are, by the way?
Yeah, so they're called Chabad. It's located in Crown Heights, which is a part in Brooklyn. So Chabad is a group of Hasidic community. They're a sect of Hasidus, and their rabbi, or Rebbe, he passed away in 1994. So he had plans of renovating 770, which is located in Crown Heights, and that's where the synagogue is. And the problem is there's been litigations and problems across the charts where they haven't been able to do any kind of construction or anything like that. So what recently has happened is there have been tunnels. And they've been smuggling in materials to do those renovations and fixing. So the truth about the tunnels have been in New York for probably, I don't even know how long. They have been primarily used as smuggling lines throughout New York City. Okay, so if people are not aware of this, in New York City, there primarily exists three types of mafias that control pretty much everything across the charts. There's the Russian mafia, there's the Chinese mafia, and then there is a mafia group that's run by the Sadmer. I'm not going to mention their name because they will come after me.
What about the Italians?
The Italians, they still have a mafia group, but primarily what they deal with is casinos and money laundering. They don't really do any big things anymore because of the problems and issues that they've been dealing with. But what does this have to do with anything? And I'll explain. So the Sadmer Mafia group, they help out the Jewish community by giving out funds. And what somebody told me is, and again, I cannot fact check this, that what's basically been going on is that there's been groups within 770 that have been having discussions with this mafia group, been getting money going back and forth to get some of the work and stuff that they need to get done. I don't know. That's what I've been told. But it's just another thing to keep in mind about the community. Am I boring you to fucking sleep?
Do you think that there were any children that have been harmed in that area within, you know...
I don't know.
No idea.
But what I can say is that the this is bananas. The Sodomer Mafia, they primarily deal with prostitution and human trafficking.
See.
They deal with human trafficking.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a very big problem. Saying it's all in the name of bettering the community, come on. They own most of the gentlemen's clubs in the entire five boroughs. So most, like, clubs you go to see, like, strippers and whatever, and, like, even, like, brothels. Oh, my God, I really am putting you to fucking sleep. I'm so sorry.
Well, no, you know, my neck is always fucked up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I'm curious. It's like, don't they consider themselves, like, religious people? Don't they think that they shouldn't sin? Why provide places of sin to people?
They believe that them, because as religious people, they don't delve into that. So the way that they look at it is that it's a Gentile's place, and where Gentiles go to do their thing, and they're just, you know, a business owner.
I know, but, like, honestly, like, if you don't put a bunch of bars near a bunch of reservations, you're not going to have as many drunk people, you know?
It's crazy, but it's kind of the many reminders of, you know, even as myself growing up there, is understanding of how these communities have learned how to survive. The reason why the Italian mafia exists is because the Italians were struggling and dying in New York. The reason why the Irish gangs existed was because the Irish people were suffering and losing their work.
That's a good point.
All of these organizations started for a purpose to help. And with all their intentions, that has led to murder, situations that we don't want to talk about on this podcast. And
do we? No, I mean, we talk about it without talking about it.
We're talking about really gruesome stuff that some of them will do to each other. They're like, we don't need to get into details. We don't. But again, like, you know, talking about from, like, place to place, you know, going from, like, you know, like New York or even to, like, Iowa, two different environments, two different cultures, and two different ways of how immigration is treated. You know, New York has always been like, yeah, we're all fucking immigrants. Get used to it. Yeah, I'm white. I'm Irish. What do you want? That's New York mentality. Everybody's immigrants. Everybody's fucking hippies. Everybody's fucking yuppies up their asshole. You know, somebody wants to be something. Who cares?
I don't know. I'm creeped out.
I love
out.
New York.
I am, like, genuinely creeped out by, like, the... I guess since I left Iowa, like, 10 years ago, I left here, like, pretty naive. And then I went out into the world and I learned a whole bunch. And so I come back to this place where I was
10 years
naive,
ago.
You know, 10 years ago. Where I just didn't know very much. And I wondered to myself earlier today, you know, like, how much bullshit did I believe? You know, how many times did people lie to me and I just took it for face value because I thought people were decent people who wouldn't lie, you know? Like, and I was just wondering, like, how much of a fool was I when I lived here? You know, it was kind of a thought that, you know, passed through my mind. And it's just a way to kind of think to yourself, you know, and just double check, I guess. This is what I'm saying. I'm kind of checking with myself, like, oh, God, like it's very easy to be fooled.
No, it is. And you bring up a really good point because I was talking with somebody that I work with. She's really, really cool. And she said that one of the things that is kind of lacking is common sense. Where you can't necessarily believe everything that you hear, but you are entitled to your own opinion. And you are entitled to argue that opinion that you believe. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the problem that comes in is with fear-mongering, is when you feel too terrified to speak your truth. Like, I'm not some Buddhist or fucking hippie here to tell you, like, the world is at its end and, like, come we all, let's be peaceful. Like, I don't give a flying fuck about that shit, man. It's like, all I expect from somebody is be yourself. You know, and if you're a decent person and you have common sense, I think that is something that most people are capable of.
It sounds to me like a lot of people are not decent people. You know, I mean, I get really creeped out by the, you know, mafia being really experts at prostitution and trafficking and creepy shit like that. And that's what I mean. It's like, I grew up like, you know, pretty naive. I kind of thought people are good people. And now that I've seen more of the world and I realize that like there's, you know, people who make all their money off of that and people who have no problem, like, you know, completely blocking out the type of people or how much pain they're bringing upon people or, you know, like it just doesn't work, you know? So it's like, I wonder how much of this shit was going on around me when I was younger is what I was trying to say is like, yeah. You know, how much of it did I just not even see? And is that where all the missing children went and shit, you know, like, cause there were pictures, you know, up like when you leave the grocery store shit like that. And it's
unfortunately, like, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of those kids that you saw on those milk cartons, they were trafficked.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, we always just lived in this idea that everything's okay. But from what I hear, you know, and with all this crazy shit in the news about Epstein, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, pretty bad as far as people getting away with like weird, creepy shit.
For sure.
And so, I mean, that's kind of the time that I'm, you know, I was 14 years old at that exact time. So I feel like, yeah, everything was like really, really sexually charged. I don't know. Maybe it's still like that. Maybe everything's really sexually charged, but remember, everything was about like Britney Spears and her boobs. Like that was pretty much just that's what everything was about.
It's interesting because we both have almost like a parallel indifference because I grew up very secluded. But what happened for me in a
my
way,
life was Britney Spears and her boobs, and you were secluded.
I was secluded. But when I was a teenager and I started to go to high school, because of my predicament and because of the situation that I dealt with at home, I was exposed to drugs at a very, very early age, crime, and things that I probably shouldn't have seen until I was older, but I already saw. And it kind of opened my eyes in a way, I feel, because I got to see what the world was, to see a 14-year-old sell fucking crack to a stripper. $40. It was like...
That's some expensive crack.
It was a lot of crack. It was a lot. Like...
Not that I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm sure she was sharing. I'm sure it was not just for her. I'm sure it was for other people. But... Oh my god, this fucking cat. It's a hard predicament because when you're faced with what the world really is, you can okay, make up your fucking mind, okay? You put your ass down over here or shut the fuck up.
Meow.
Meow is not an option.
Meow. You like my new shirt?
I love your new shirt. I love how we went from all seriousness. Okay. Come on. I'm gonna whoop you.
Is your birthday on Thursday?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
This year I'm not celebrating though.
What are you? You're not gonna do anything? You just going to work?
Going to work. Doing my thing.
Maybe somebody will like make you like a cupcake or a cookie or something.
Oh, actually, I think I do have a date on Thursday.
Oh, we were talking about dating and then we started talking about
depressing shit.
Trafficking. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean,
you went on two dates. The one was too young.
The other one, personality, everything was there. Just no attraction.
Yeah. You couldn't picture yourself sucking on their dick.
Yeah, in a very explicit way, Carissa. Yeah, exactly. But he was he was absolutely wonderful. I mean, we did, like, literally, it was a date that I would have done. We were actually kind of, like, talking about this, like, almost in a way he was me. So that, I think that's also kind of what threw me off, is, like, in a way I'd be dating a version of me, which is kind of weird. But that's the thing about it is, it's like, you can't just try it once or twice. You have to keep on doing it. You gotta, you know, it's like when you try ice cream, you know, for the very first time. There's different flavors. You gotta go through some of it until you find exactly the one that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
Or to a level. I mean, nobody's gonna be perfect. Nobody.
Also, like I said, like, you don't really even know what kind of flavor you like the most yet.
Exactly.
Until you find like it. That shirt. That's cool.
Oh, I got this at Nordstrom Rack. It is a thick t-shirt. It's thick. So I love me some thick t-shirts.
I like the Cupid.
Yeah, and a yin and yang. It says obey. And it says obey nothing, love everyone.
Yeah.
And
I wonder who came up with the Cupid. It's kind of just like a weird, strange, like, it's a naked baby, but it's not like a baby, like, mentally, you know? It's not an actual infant. It's like a grown-up in a baby body that, like, flies around and has some type of, like, magical power, right?
Are you talking about the... She's having a moment.
Yeah, I am. I'm high as hell.
We're both fucking high as hell. It is an interesting depiction. I believe it comes from the Renaissance era, if I'm not mistaken.
It's got to be like ancient Greece, dude.
Oh, the babies.
The Cupids. I was thinking about it because I was trying to think of all the different Valentine's Day cutout cookies that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
For Valentine's Day. And I was thinking, like, what else do you do other than hearts, you know? And I thought, like, I could do, like, X's and O's. Think of anything?
That would be really cute. You know what you could do? Do you remember the little heart candies? There were these little heart candies. And they used to say, like, be mine. Or, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could make those into sugar cookies. So a really fun thing you can do, you can get sugar cookie mix, like Duncan Hines, they have a really good one. And then you do is you get, like, little cookie cutters, and then you can fill them out with, like, any color you want. You can get, like, a teal. They do. They have, like, you can get, like, a teal frosting or something like that, or, like, a canary yellow. And you get, like, you know, little tiny, like, little what do you call those? The points that are on the end of the bags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know, like a tip, but...
Tips, yes. And you could just play around and, like, trust me, if you do that with, like, you know, somebody that you're, like, you're dating, it's a really fun activity to do. You know, you can, like, bake sugar cookies.
Yeah, okay, so we can make, like, little heart cookies that look like the...
Do you see this?
Yeah, it's super cute.
She's having them.
With little, like, sugar candies... that are shaped like hearts that are like pastel-y. They're like mints, and they're
amazing.
Say, like, be mine or whatever on them.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see the ones that are like the adult version, and they say, like, just, like, you know, like, really, like, sexy things on them, like lick me and
suck,
like,
me. Yeah.
Or I don't know what all they say, but it'd be funny to, like, make a bunch of normal cookies and, like, hide, like, a really bad one in there.
Ooh. I'm sorry, guys. When this little cat gets anxious, this is what happens.
That's okay. My Louie's, like, asleep. Tomorrow's my day off work.
Tomorrow is my double shift day.
Oh, fuck.
I start at 7:30 in the morning.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck do you need to be at a brewery that early?
It's not a brewery. I work in the cafe right across the street.
Oh, how's that going?
going great.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Just great?
Well, I don't know how much I can talk about, you know.
On the podcast? Because yeah, everybody's like, going to tell everybody?
Right. Like, I can't really, like, reveal names and things unless, like, you know, I talk with them.
Is that all you want to do is talk about people and their names?
Well, no. I mean, I can tell you other things. I mean, they have a fantastic menu. They're called Synth and Co. They're in Oakland Park. They're right across from Black Flamingo. Oakland Park is in Fort Lauderdale, if you're visiting down here. And they've got great coffee, an awesome cold brew. They've got a bacon breakfast sandwich, which is amazing. And they've got a great selection of baked goods.
Okay.
Absolutely fabulous. Oh, actually, they have a seasonal horchata cake. It is so good. It would be, I was telling him, I was like, I would just like pour just 12 spiced rum all over that slice of cake.
What are the hours for that place?
I am currently there like a 5 to 6 hour shift. And then my other job, I have my normal shift.
But I mean, like, how long is that place open? Like, is it open as late as the other one that you work at?
No. So they're open, yeah. I believe, from 8 until 4.
Yeah, so they're more of like a morning-ish place.
Lunch.
Yeah, morning and lunch. So it's really cool. Yum, yum. Dude, I miss Florida. I miss that shit for real.
I don't blame you, man.
I miss Florida so bad. Look at me in my tie-dye. Ah, I was just there. Yeah, it was amazing. I was.
Where did you get that tie-dye?
Parisi's lattes. Shout out to the god of espresso and cannoli. My shirt is from a place called The Old Salty Dog. It's like a restaurant/bar that is down near my sister's house. And we can take Louie and like sit on the patio or whatever, but it's where my other tie-dye t-shirt came from. But when I go back down to Florida, I'll get you a tie-dye t-shirt.
Well, we're going to have to drive all the way there, honey. It's like 3 hours.
No, I'll just get you one and then somehow I'll like get it to you, like I'll mail it or something like that.
Isn't that bananas that I drove, I think, 2 hours or something to you?
It's amazing. I think it's really good.
Yeah, this time I got a convertible to do it, you know, driving through the Everglades.
Yeah, I need to get a car. I need to. I really do.
You need a car?
Yeah, so I kind of want to like drive around, drive back from Florida or some shit like that.
Damn. You need to get, I keep on telling you, honey, you need to get yourself like a goddamn Subaru or something, you know?
Yeah, especially after this like crazy snow shit, I'm like, I'm getting me like something with like a 4-wheel drive, like, you know. You know, I got this thing for like Jeeps right now because of the ducks. I like the duck Jeep situation. And the Jeeps, I've seen them, they're out like driving around in the snow. My mom's car, I kind of want one of those too. But it slid on the ice like a little bit. 2 or 3 times today, a couple times the other day.
Does it have 4-wheel drive?
Yeah. It's still like, if I hit the gas like too hard, it'll like slide. So, you know, you have to kind of like ease into like
starting. You have to pump it.
It's fucking crazy, dude. It's actually exciting.
Kind of hilarious because we get very heavy rains in New York. So one of the tricks is that, you know, you have to pump your brakes.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious because like I do that out here. Yeah. Yeah. And like out here, a lot of people don't know how to drive in the rain. And I'm like one of the only few people that knows how to drive. And I'm just like, it's so funny. Because people, like, just start slowing down. I'm like, bro, you can drive 40 miles an hour when it's raining. It's okay. You're not going to kill anybody. Just be smart.
It's been really exciting.
Talking surprised. About cold and, yeah.
No, I mean, just the dealing with how fucking insane the weather's been. Like, not knowing if I'm going to work and stuff like that, it's honestly given me like quite a bit of stress. And I haven't gotten to drive my own car, which means I can't like smoke, you know, out in my car. And that's kind of sad. I miss my car. So, yeah, I don't know. It's been a little bit of like extra stress.
You could smoke in your room, honey.
No, I can't. She'll be like, what the fuck? But I can like, I can smoke this little guy. But I'm curious, like, if it's supposed to like snow down a whole bunch again on me or not. I don't know.
I don't predict the weather, and unfortunately, I don't control it. So I would love to help you in this situation, but I think I'm not the right person.
No, you're good. I'm just worried, man.
If you haven't noticed, Twixie changed positions. She went from the shoulder down to my hand. And, just had to tell you.
No, it's good. For some reason, yesterday and today were like -8.
Oh, God.
Tomorrow it's only 9 degrees. And then...
Oh, only 9.
It warms up to 20. And then on the weekend, it goes back down to like 3 or 4 degrees. And then next week, on Monday and Tuesday, it goes all the way up to 37 degrees.
So, in Fahrenheit, which is bullshit, that would be above 32 degrees, which means that it is no longer freezing. Because, you know, anything below 32 degrees is considered freezing.
That's what we need. And that's why they, like, haven't melted all of the ice on the streets. And that's why the streets are, like, ice rinks. And that is why, like, you know, just because everything's frozen, like, if you melt all the ice on the street, it's honestly just going to, like, solidify even worse than it already is. So we have to just wait for the temperature to change before we can melt all of it. Because, like, they've got, like, salt and, like, different, like, chemicals that they can, like, drop on the street. It'll make everything melt, but it doesn't really work very well with, you know, how it's, like, -9.
Yeah, and you also run into the problem with black ice.
I haven't had any black ice recently.
That's good.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be able to drive my car.
We just have so much snow. Like, it just fell down like crazy. Like, I don't know. This one person's balcony has like 50 inches of snow.
Is she going to shovel it off?
Uh-uh.
She did?
She can't open the door. It's the balcony.
Isn't that going to, like, break the balcony?
That's what I thought. I was like, what if it's so heavy that it just, like...
Thankfully, she wasn't on the balcony at the time. Dum, dum, dum.
It was like... I'll send it to you. It was like... Because, like, the way that the apartment building's shaped, she's, like, in the inner corner of, like, the courtyard. And so all the snow, like, blew from, like, both directions.
Dear God.
And then it, like, filled up, like, her apartment complex. It's, like, down here. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense. And then maybe you wouldn't have seen it because it's actually something that, like, happened, like, locally. Like, did I save it?
Locally?
Yeah, it happened in our, like, East Village.
Sorry. I'm just really tired.
Did I tell you that I made, like, really, really awesome lasagna?
That sounds amazing.
You have to check your phone. Yeah, your eyes look sleepy.
I think we should wrap this up in a few. What do you think?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. I'm down to wrap it up, too.
All right. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, you people cannot see, but there is a lot. Wow. I like the second image. That would be an awesome Airbnb.
For $200 a night.
$200. Oh, wow. That looks like an amazing lasagna.
I made a lasagna because that's what you do.
You remember what I told you? I literally commented. I'm like, what are you, Garfield? You know, like just the way I was like, I made lasagna. You know, if you watch Garfield, you know, like, you made lasagna.
Oh, it was so good, dude. Like, I could make it better, but it was damn good.
Okay, next time you're making this one, I'm around so I can try this. And then I can finish it for you.
I wish I could, like, make a lasagna and, like, package it, like, in, like, dry ice and, like, overnight ship it, like,
we're not that FedEx. I wish we were, but that would be so expensive.
Ship you my lasagna? It'd be, like, $50.
Yeah.
To ship the lasagna overnight in some dry ice.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is. I mean, but, you know, the lasagna didn't cost $50 to make.
No. I did buy the bougiest shit I could find, though. Yeah, I didn't get a laugh out of you with that. And so I was like waiting for it. I'm like, is that funny that I bought the bougiest ingredients I could find? I did. I bought this jar of sauce that was like $9.99 for like the jar. Like, I was like,
$9.90. Okay.
I thought that was pretty good. I was like, ooh, we ain't fucking around.
This is bougie.
Okay. Well, because, like, I, like, looked up, you know, you ever, like, go grocery shopping, you, like, automatically look, like, lower because that's, like, where the better prices are. I thought to myself, I was, like, you want this lasagna to be good? Look up. I, like, looked up and, like, one of the bottles of sauce was, like, $11.99 and I was, like, shit, $12 for a bottle of spaghetti sauce, huh?
That's been preserved with chemicals.
Yeah, you think so?
Probably. Tomato, I mean, basil. But if it tastes good, that's all that matters. You know, if it doesn't taste good, it's a problem. It's a big problem.
It's good.
Ah, boy.
Okay.
All right.
Love you, David.
Love you, too. Well, listen, people, we love you. It's been fun catching up with you. If you want to check out more of Carissa, you can find her at American Groove Pod. And if you want to check out more of the podcast, find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Lost in the Groove Pod. All right. We love you all, and we'll catch you on the next one.